New research from the RAND Corporation shows that who you are, your race, education, and income, is a big predictor of how healthy you eat. But where you live also matters. Since 2011, RAND has been comparing the health of residents in Homewood, a food desert, with the Hill District, which went 30 years without a grocery store before finally getting one in 2013. 90.5 WESA's Virginia Alvino Young spoke with RAND researcher Tamara Dubowitz about the impacts of building a grocery store in the Hill and the questions the findings raise.
We actually saw greater improvements among Hill District residents when compared with Homewood residents in added sugar intake, in caloric intake, and in what we call empty calories. So those are calories from sort of bad-for-you foods in like packaged foods and cakes and cookies and that kind of thing. We did not see improvements in fruit and vegetable intake or in whole grain intake. The sort of wrench of the story was that the improvements among Hill District residents were not related to whether or not they used the store. So use of the store, shopping at the new grocery store, was not associated with dietary improvements. It didn't matter whether you shopped at the supermarket or not.
That obviously begs a lot of questions. What are you guys going to do going forward to kind of tease apart and look for variables that might have been responsible for that improvement?
Yeah, so it actually brought up a lot of additional questions. What caused this if it wasn't the grocery store? What was going on or what is going on in the Hill District that might affect diet if it's not the new grocery store? So going forward, we're looking both backwards and forwards. So we're looking at all of the different investments that have happened in the Hill District, including housing investments, commercial investments. And we're also following the same cohort over time to see what happens to diet over time. Was this just a finding that occurred a little bit after the grocery store opened because there was increased awareness? We're asking questions like, does hope, community hopefulness, is that something, community well-being, is that something that relates to diet? So we're really interested in digging into the mechanisms of what is it about investing in communities and investing correctly in communities that might ultimately translate into health.
I know all of this research is sort of meant to improve public policies that we have surrounding health and food consumption. What policies have you seen in the country implemented or piloted that have shown tangible results?
One, I would point to the investing in eliminating food deserts. Mm-hmm. So is it good to put a grocery store in a food desert? And actually, although our research doesn't show that shopping at the supermarket necessarily makes the difference, it did show a lot of improvements in the health and well-being of residents. So another thing that we saw was that resident satisfaction with their neighborhood as a place to live improved pretty dramatically among residents in the Hill District. So I would still point to that policy as an effective one and one that we should continue to invest in. Another policy that's more individual or like targeted towards individuals are tax policies. So there have been tax policies on sugared sweetened beverages that have raised quite a bit of controversy. However, we have seen as far as the effectiveness of improving diet, of decreasing sugared sweetened beverage intake, they've been really effective. Another policy or another type of policy is incentivizing the purchase of healthy foods. So there's something called the Double Bucks program, which is being piloted right now and targeting specific populations. So SNAP participants, a program which allows them to get double the produce for half of the price. We're seeing some positive results as far as that being an effective policy.
Tamara Dubowitz, thank you again so much for visiting.
Thank you so much for having me.